is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you. Thank you for being here. We are just here to praise God and to hear His word on this third Sunday of Pentecost. Couple announcements, as you well know. The pool party has been postponed, so that will not be today. And you can see the other dates that we have here. We'll let you know as soon as that would be rescheduled. So just put your ice cream in the freezer, and it won't be that long. So it'll work well. Any other announcements? All right, prayer request. I think it's quite obvious as we look around. And just a part of the prayer request, my understanding of individuals and privacy is I don't share prayer requests unless I'm asked to and given permission to, and I don't share names of individuals unless I'm asked to and given permission. But we have had, so it doesn't blow out of proportion, we have had five people in the last week and a half that have different forms, stages of COVID. They're in quarantine. They're all doing better. I would ask and do have permission that you would pray that you would be keep Sherry in your prayers. Unlike the others, she is not progressing very well. Actually, feeling worse, and so that probably has a lot to do with the person she has to live with. But keep her in prayer. All the other four are doing better, and there's some, and we respect this, some made the decision just out of caution who don't have it. So don't assume everyone that's not here has COVID. Some just chose out of their level of safety and caution to not attend. I have tested several times negative, so I think I'm fine. Any other prayer requests that anyone would like to share? Dave.
My son and his family, in particular his wife, who tested positive Tuesday for ovarian cancer.
So, let's keep Helen and Davey Kinzer in our prayers.
Can I have a prayer? Yeah,
sure.
About Werner?
Yes, please.
So you can hear me. You have a neighbor. His name is Werner, his wife is Kathy. She had been very ill in the hospital. We'll go into the details of all of that. Had some falls, finally got home. And Tom had a chance to meet Werner at our house. And out of all of this, Werner tearfully explained that they don't go to church, that Kathy, years ago, had wanted to go, they were both Catholic, but he didn't want to. And he said he was wrong. So now he wants to come to the well. They would have been there today, and so she had another fall, cut her lip, etc. So Tom is arranging time to go spend in prayer and with them. But out of that tragedy of what she has been through and all, Werner has been enlightened to the fact that they need to come back, they need to be in church, and it just shows you out of every horrible whatever.
That's right. And so keep Kathy and Werner in prayer. Delightful folks. And Belgium, aren't they? Aren't they from Belgium?
They
yes, correct.
Yeah.
So let's keep
moving along with Dr. Andy. He speaks fluent German.
Oh, wonderful. Hopefully he can teach
among many other language.
Wonderful. So let's keep them in prayer. Robert.
I had an incident last night with a job that Heather's going to be awarded to the state as of tomorrow morning. I appreciate any prayer.
You have our prayers, brother, as well as Heather does. So let's keep Heather Wright in our prayers. Things have just been declining this week, and it culminated in this morning. And it looks pretty positive that she'll become a ward of the state. So Let's just keep Heather and the entire family in prayer. And Robert and Cheyenne and Dallas, you know, we'll be there for you as we have them. Any other prayer request? All right, let's go. Our gracious, trustworthy, faithful, and patient God, we come to you as the source of our strength, the only sure foundation. All other ground is shifting sand. Everything else fails. Nothing is worthy of our worship or suitable for our devotion and trust than the one who cannot fail, the one who is not like man, he cannot lie, the one who is always secure and true. To the one true God, we come this morning thanking you that we need not fear the storms, we need not fear changes, we need not fear those things that seem to threaten, whether they are physical or in the business or political or domestic world. We trust you and you alone. By your Spirit, increase our faith. We must confess, as one did to you while on earth, we do believe, and we ask you to help our unbelief, for we are distracted at times, and we need you not to have us look for other foundations, but to clear our sight, to remove the distractions, to refocus upon you and you alone, knowing and confessing with Werner that it's never too late to turn to you. And we do thank you for Werner and Kathy, and we pray that you will continue to be with her physically, and may we as a congregation as much as possible continue to support and uphold the two of them. We pray that you would be the same for Helen and Davy, as they received not what they would have liked to have heard, but they received what is. But we know that you are the God who was not shaken by that positive result, that you have promised never to leave nor forsake them. Draw close and comfort. We pray that you will bring healing through those treatments and procedures that she will be given. Prepare her body, make it receptive to those, may the healing properties that you have there be brought to the fore. Comfort Davy, comfort the entire family, strengthen them. We pray that you would be with those who have at certain stages of being tested positive with COVID. Continue to strengthen them. For those that are slow in the recovery, may even today there be marked improvement. We just pray that you'll continue to bless. Bless our dear family that are truly family with us, Robert Wright and his children. We just thank you for that family. We thank you for this special love and joy they've brought to us over the years. And we just pray now that you'll be with them. We pray that you would be with Heather. Put a hedge of protection around her. Bring peace and stability into her life. Draw close and give comfort to Robert, as there will be this void in the day in and day out living of their household. May they all again turn to you and find their strength there. We commit Heather to you. We pray that for the same with Gwen, as she is on a new path. We pray that this will be a place of healing and health for her. Comfort and strengthen her. Give clarity of thought. As we read in last week's scripture, we know you are the God who brings us all back to our right mind, our good thinking, and we pray that that would be the case. We just thank you for your promise. Sometimes, Lord, it feels like all we have is a promise from you. But when the promise is issued by the God who can never lie, who has never been unfaithful, that promise is all we need. We cling to it. We hold to it. And we recognize that it's found in the one through whom we pray, Jesus Christ, and Him alone. Amen. If you'll look with me to the front of the bulletin, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy upon us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll look at Psalm 16. Pay heed not only to Psalm 16 as a call to worship, but also the text for the sermon of the morning, after which we'll stand and sing hymn 82. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my God, my good above all other.
All my lives are my God, in the land. My lives are noble among the people.
But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you are my companion.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Thank you.
first lesson is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9b through 21. Behold, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your servant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Malah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. Here ends the first reading.
Thank you.
giver of all good things, grant into our hearts, graft into our hearts a love of your name, increase in us true faith, nourish us with what is good, and watch over all who are in your care. Grant this, we pray, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, ever making intercession for us, calling us to pray the prayer that he has given all disciples to pray as we boldly pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and verses 13 through 25. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Here ends the second reading.
Thank you. belong our trust and adoration. Amen.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans, to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. Well, I'm grateful to see that all of you are properly spaced out from one another. So it looks good. It's not going to be the sermon, but I always get this question when the Gospel of Luke 9 is read. So let me just clear it up real quick in case it was a question in your mind when Jen read it, and then we'll get to the sermon. When Jesus told a man, "No, you cannot go to your father's funeral," he's not as heartless as that might sound. The understanding, and it's very clear in the Greek, is his father's not dead. It's not that his father died and he said, "Jesus, can I go to the funeral before I follow you?" And Jesus said, "No." What he's asking is, "Can I remain in my father's household until he dies, and then I'll come and follow you?" So I just want to clear that up so no one thinks we serve a heartless Savior, because we don't. He is tenderhearted and compassionate, and hopefully will guide my words today. So let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. We have heard one theme today. We do have a sure foundation, a mighty fortress, but we only have one. Give us wisdom through your Spirit's guidance to hear that one, adore that one, rest upon that one, and build and live our lives placing all of our trust on that one sure foundation. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen. About a decade ago, a couple more, maybe 12 years ago, there was an autobiography written posthumously, published by Mother Teresa. She kept a diary, a wonderful book. It's called Come Be My Light. And when that diary was published, it caused quite a stir. It was quite controversial. It was quite disappointing. People were upset that in this diary published by this saintly woman who had served for decades ministering in the name of Christ to the others in the poorest streets in Calcutta and other places, she just seemed like a pillar of strength. And they published her diary and realized she had a bad day. She had lots of bad days. I wasn't disappointed by it. I thought it was real. And I took encouragement from it because it reminded me we all have those days. Let me read you an entry from Mother Teresa. See if maybe sometimes you could write this as well. And I quote from her diary. Jesus has a special love for everyone else. But for me, his silence and the emptiness is so great. I look and I do not see. I listen for him and hear nothing. Today we celebrate in the life of the church the prophet Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah's day of celebration in the liturgical calendar. And he's even known as the weeping prophet. In fact, he wrote an entire book of laments, of lamentations. Listen to what he wrote in Jeremiah 20. Cursed be the day on which I was born, the day when my mother bore me. Let it not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father that a son has been born to you. Let that man be like the cities that the Lord overthrew without pity. Let him hear a cry in the morning, an alarm at noon, because he did not kill me in the womb. So my mother would have been my grave, and her womb would have been forever blessed had I died. Why did I come from the womb? To see toil and sorrow and spend my days in shame? Our Old Testament text also has another who understands as we do this discouragement, this silence, this confusion and chaos, loneliness and depression that comes to all of us. And it's Elijah. It's surprising because Elijah has just within days seen a mighty outpouring upon God, of God on the Mount of Carmel, where he went to battle with 450 prophets of Baal. And he won, or I should say God won, but through Elijah. Elijah saw how powerful God was. He saw how much God can show up. He saw that God was a mighty fortress and defeated all his enemies. But then a woman comes along named Jezebel. And it's not even that she did anything to Elijah. If you go and read, she sends a messenger. Jezebel is the king's wife. She sends a messenger and doesn't kill him. I contend that she didn't want him dead. If she had wanted him dead, she would have told the messenger, slay him when you get there. But she does something even worse than death. She gave him the sentence of death. Condemnation. She doesn't send her servant to Elijah and say, you're dead right now. She says, same be unto me if it's not unto you done by tomorrow at this same time, like you have done. And Elijah then, nothing has changed in reality, but something has changed in his thinking. There's some insecurity. Do you know that phenomenon? Do you know the phenomenon where nothing in reality has gone wrong, but you've got a threat now? You've got a sentence. You've got a fear. You've got this dark cloud hanging over you now. And we see how Elijah responds. Elijah understands ups and downs. He knows feelings of disillusionment. He feels now like his work was fruitless. He feels as if everything has gone to smash. And he starts talking to God, and he just basically says, I quit. I'm the only one you had left, God, and you deserted me, and I quit. Like Job said, we know life is short and full of trouble. The Hebrew word there for full means satiated, overflowing. It can't be any more. And sometimes we feel like life is short and we can't have any more problems. We can't have any more discord. We have so much in the paper, on the news, in our families, at work, in the neighborhood. It just seems that we are overwhelmed. Life is short and full of trouble. So what do? I'm going to suggest throughout life, there are only two paths. There are only two responses. We see it all through Scripture. Psalm 1 puts it between the righteous who listen and the stiff-necked, the wicked who don't. We see it between the fool and the wise. We see it in Jesus when he talks about being on the foundation of rock or being on the foundation of stone. And we see it just in popular culture, probably most poignantly in that wonderful movie Shawshank Redemption, where Andy Dufresne is at the end of feeling that he can't be more betrayed, as his only hope to have the truth come has now been taken away by the warden. And he's depressed and he just thinks it's all over. He makes a declaration of grace outlining those two ways. As he says to his best friend Red, get busy living or get busy dying. The way of life and the way of death, Deuteronomy points it out, and we see it in our text today. The way of death is the one we see in this passage of 1 Kings 19 with Elijah. And the way of death is to become absorbed with the self. If you look in verses 9 and 10 of 1 Kings 19 that Sarah read for us, we just hear, I'm all alone. I'm the only one that you had left, and I'm alone. This martyr complex that is so turned in on self that we just think that all of everyone else has betrayed God. We all fight that, don't we? Do you know what it is to think that no one at work is as committed to the task as you are? Do you know what it is to feel that God just put you surrounded by a bunch of incompetent people? A bunch of lackadaisical people that aren't as committed as you are? You're the one that shows up. We're the one, and if we're not tempted, we can become absorbed in that like Elijah did. We can think, Lord, I'm tired of being the Superman, and I want to quit. And we get discouraged because Superman can't wear the cape all the time. The cape starts to drag, and the pretense starts to fall, and then we become discouraged. And when we get to the place that we're discouraged, everything else is short-circuited. D.L. Moody, that great evangelist from Chicago of two centuries prior, the 19th century, he said that there's no sin that can keep God from using a person except for the condition of discouragement. For when one is discouraged, it's like, why bother? I'm the only one. I'll sit here, suck my thumb, and just die because I don't see anything beyond me. That's the way of death. I'm going to suggest to you, if you'll look with me to Psalm 16, there's another way. There's another way, the way of life. Get busy living isn't being absorbed with self, it's being absorbed with God. I would argue that David knew far more problems than Elijah did. David knew so many problems. He had domestic discord that would make most of our families look like the epitome of sanity. His families were just really messed up. He had multiple deaths in his family. He had enemies on the outside, and he had his sinful nature on his inside, and he had the king on his backside trying to kill him. He was surrounded by problems. And in the midst of Saul trying to kill him, and I want you to get the picture of that, because you feel slighted, don't you? You know what it is to feel slighted by a neighbor or a family member or someone that didn't post as much about you on Facebook as they might have posted about someone else. I mean, we understand being overlooked for a promotion or not being invited to a certain party, but I want you to get the picture. In a monarchical society where the king was the law, and that king has made his one purpose in life hunting you down. David knew that. If Elijah had opportunity to pout and sit and say it's all done, David even more so. But David, as in one after God's own heart, chose that second path, the path of life. And we'll see what he does. And it sounds so simple, but it's so real and true. He confesses. He confesses. As Deuteronomy says, when it outlines a way of life and a way of death, it then gives us and says that the choice between life and death is in the tongue. Confess. Speak. And confess the truth, not what you feel. And what we see in Psalm 16 is David makes four confessions. And I didn't alliterate it. The author of Scripture, David himself, in Psalm 16 alliterates it, and you can see they all begin with P. Let's look in verse 1. The first thing that he says, David says, in the midst of his trouble, I have God's protection. Protect me, O God, I take refuge in you. Protection there means to keep, or to watch over, to guard. God Almighty is your security guard. He is the good over all things. You are my only good, my good above all others, my delight, verse 2. You are my all, verse 3. Others run after other gods, but why do I need them? I have the Creator God as my protection. One of my favorite little ditties or sayings, and I have no idea where I heard it, decades ago, but it is so true. And I've grown to see it's truer the longer I live and will continue to do so. And it simply states that when you come to that point in life where Christ is all you have, you absolutely learn that Christ is all you need. He is our good. He is our refuge. He is our protection. And it gives us the ability in the midst of difficulties to keep on living, to walk the path of life, confessing that He is our protection. Now, that doesn't always turn out the way we want. There was a group of missionaries back in 1956 that were devoted to Christ, were dedicated to His cause, were excited to go, and they were going to Ecuador to minister and take the gospel to the Uca Indians. And things were going quite well for them while they were there. They had seen God work, and then all of a sudden, almost in an inexplicable way, the Uca Indians turned on them and killed four of them on January the 8th, 1956. One of which was quite famous. He had written some, and his wife went on to be quite even more famous. His name was Jim Elliot. He was married to a woman named Elizabeth Elliot. And Jim Elliot kept a diary too, much like Mother Teresa. And several months before his death, this entry is in Jim Elliot's diary. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he never can lose. See, even in death, God was Jim Elliot's protection. Because that which he had, he could never lose. God is my protection. David confesses it. The second thing we see in the beginning of verse 5, he confesses that God is my provision, my portion, and my cup. Today, God is my daily bread. He's my inheritance, my goodly heritage. He's not only my daily bread today, he's my future, tomorrow. Today, he's my portion. Tomorrow, he's my heritage. That's why Luther could write, as we sung, let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. My future is not in my stock holdings. Aren't you glad? Your well-being is not in your stock holdings. Aren't you glad that your future well-being is not by getting politicians to line up and make the decisions you want them to make or not to make? Aren't you glad that your security, your provision is not found in Rustburg, Richmond, or D.C.? We have this provision that we can never lose. Today, I am secure. Tomorrow, I am secure. And then he picks up in verse 7, I have God's presence. Forever I will be with God. See, Paul says something in Philippians that sounds like a death wish if we don't understand it. But if we confess that our joy and our strength and our goodness is we have the presence of God, it makes sense of what Paul says in Philippians 1 when he was in prison. For me to live is to live for Christ. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is for your good. But for me to die is gain. Death is not something that the Christian should fear. Death is that where I will, it's gain. And the reason it's gain is all those distractions that we deal with in life that keep us from focusing on the presence of God will no longer be. That sin that distracts, the cares of this world, all those distractions, when we step into glory, those distractions are gone. And it is a gain, because all I have and all I get to focus on is the presence of God. Let me read to you from Johannes Eckhart. You probably know him as Meister Eckhart from the 13th century. And I don't think it's been said any better, and it rings clear today. Listen carefully as I read what he wrote. I am as sure as I live that nothing is so near to me as God. God is nearer to me than I am to myself. My existence depends on the nearness and presence of God. Catch this. He is also near things of wood and stone, but they know it not. If a piece of wood became as aware of the nearness of God as an archangel is, the piece of wood would be as happy as an archangel. For this reason, man is happier than the inanimate wood, because he knows and understands how God is near him. Follow this. His happiness increases and diminishes in proportion to the increase in the diminution in his knowledge of this. His happiness does not arise from this, that God is near him and in him, and that he possesses God, but from this, that he knows the nearness of God, and loves him, and is aware that the kingdom of God is near. In other words, what he says is, when you feel that God is silent, he's still there. When you feel that he's gone away, he's still there. It's like that silly story you've heard about the older couple. Well, this doesn't even work anymore because we don't have bench seats in automobiles. But the couple that are driving down the road, the older man and older woman, and he's driving and she's by the window, and they go by and they see this young couple and they're just right up beside each other. And the wife says, honey, how come we're not as close as we used to be? He said, well, I haven't moved. And so the story about it, God is not moved. He's present. And what Meister Eckhart understood is that our way of life is not getting God more present in our lives, but us becoming more aware that He is present. And that's why death is gain, because we are absolutely aware at that time. But we have distractions. David says in verse 7 that his presence gives us counsel. It's our direction and our guidance. It tells us to turn here, to turn there. In verse 8, his presence gives us comfort. We may be shaken, brothers and sisters, but we will not fall. There's no promise that you won't walk through the fire. The promise is it's not going to send you. There's absolutely no guarantee that you will not walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But we have something even better, His presence. For He says that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art, what is it?
With me.
His presence is life and joy. So we have His protection, His provision, His presence, and the fourth thing we see in verses 9 through 11, we have His promise. We have a promise. I will never be abandoned in verse 10. I will never be orphaned. But let me confess something to you. When we're reading Psalm 16, we're reading somebody else's mail. I mean, you like all those, and you're probably thinking, that's what I got too. But let me tell you, you're reading somebody else's mail. But let me also say, so is David. This isn't even primarily about David. David is reading someone else's mail and writing Psalm 16. This is the mail of Jesus Christ. Psalm 16 is a prophecy about Jesus. Like the rest of Scripture, Psalm 16 is not primarily about Tom. It's not primarily about David. It's not primarily about you. It's primarily about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's protection. Jesus Christ is God's provision. Jesus Christ is the ultimate presence of God. And He and in Him, all the promises of God find their fulfillment. Psalm 16 is all about Jesus Christ. But we are in Him. And He is in us. And that is our hope of glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen.
If you join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
God of the whirlwind, You created all things out of nothing. You called Your chosen people out of the wilderness, and in Your Son's dying and rising, You recreated us out of the chaos of our sin. You passed Your mantle from Elijah to Elisha, and in the power of Your Holy Spirit, You passed the mantle of Jesus to the apostles and to Your church. So now we celebrate the call of Your grace in the company of saints and angels and all the chorus of heaven, singing the hymn of Your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of the journey, your son Jesus Christ had nowhere to lay his head, but still he sets a table in our wilderness and meets us in the bread and wine. Now send down your Holy Spirit, that in them we may find our home in you, and that these gifts of the earth and of human hands may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took the bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Ever gracious God, as Elisha asked Elijah for a double share of his spirit, so now we seek a double share of your spirit. Fill our bodies with your heavenly food. Fill your church with truth and grace. Fill your world with righteousness and peace. And fill your whole creation with the praise of your glory. That our deepest hungers may be met in you, the deepest thirst of all who struggle through each day may be met in the coming of your kingdom, and the deepest needs of all who are oppressed may be met in the never-failing stream of your liberating love until the day when we are filled forever with the abundant fruits of your Spirit in union with Christ, ever one God.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In the midst of your enemies, in the valley of the shadow of death, in the difficulties of life, in the living of these short and troublesome days, we hear and confess together as true, "I will prepare a table for you." This is the table prepared for us, the very body and blood of his dear Son that was given for us. We thank you, our Father, for this goodness. And now I offer to you, who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth, to come and to receive the Passover Lamb, slain for you, resurrected for you, upholding you, bidding you come. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be yours both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.